Kilmore's what's coming up shortly, and we'll break down the victory from Frankfurt over Rangers via penalties in the Europa League final this morning after it finished a 1-1 after extra time. We'll look ahead to the final day of the Premier League. It's all set up, particularly as far as the top of the table, City and Liverpool are concerned. And last night in the A-League, in the first leg of their semi-final, it was scoreless between Adelaide and Melbourne City. Now, I just wanted to read this text out from earlier to morning, lads. It's Larry from Leeton here. I think I found an omen bet for the weekend this Friday in the Group 1 at Wagga Harness Races. A mate of mine, Drew Kenner, trains and drives a horse called Barrett. It's race 7, number 7. Surely it's worth a fiver each way at $21 with tab fixed odds. This second part's long-winded, but it's just in regards to yesterday's chat about the pacing for Pink in Harness for the Glenn McGrath Foundation. Or the J. McGrath Foundation for the month of May. A mate of mine from Leeton, Braden Scar, from Braden Scar Electrical, is sponsoring three drivers from this area, Ellen Bartley, Blake Jones and Jackson Pating. $200 to the foundation for every winner they drive for the month of May. Might not seem like a big deal, but Blake and Jack both drove over 100 winners each last year, and in NRL terms, they are the Melbourne Storm and Penrith Panthers of Riverina Harness, and Ellen is one of the leading trainers. She'd be... Of course, she'd be the equivalent of Craig Bellamy to the region. All three are confident they'll get somewhere around 25 to 30 winners between them for the month. Our punters club is hoping closer to 50. So Braden has to get back on the tools again. As always, love the show. Cheers, Lazza. Lazza from Leeton. I think that's the longest text I've ever read, but it's for a great cause. And the pacing for Pink and doing their bit there in the Riverina. Now, the Tab Quaddy playoffs are rolling again, and a share of $70,000 remains up for grabs. And it's been a $50 hypothetical bet at a different track each week, and there's a weekly $10,000 prize. Or if you land one of the top quaddies across the 4 weeks, you can win a share in $30,000. Now, Victoria's up this weekend, and then it's New South Wales next weekend. So to get involved, just head to tabinfo.com.au/quaddyplayoffs. tabinfo.com.au/quaddyplayoffs, or you can find it in your Tab app as well. Blocker. How good is he?
Brilliant.
I just can't, that image.
In the robe. I love when he did the not, I'm tying only... the robe up. He's tying the robe up. The block.
Here's one for you, Clarkie. Question for Clarkie. Listen to Tail Enders podcast. Oh, no, you're going to love this. And they were discussing ball of the 21st century so far. Simon Jones' reverse in-swinger to you in 2005 at Edgbaston, where you shouldered arms and got castled, was a candidate. Was it even the best ball you faced, old mate from your minor? No, surely not. Good piece of bowling, but you would have
Wasn't the best piece of batting, let me tell you. You're allowed to use your bat. It's what you're paid to do. The best ball, I reckon the pick of the balls, 21st century, Ryan Harris bowled this delivery to Alistair Cook at the Wacker. I can't remember if it was over the wicket or around the wicket, but it was either swing in or angle into the left-hander, hit a crack, seamed away, and ripped his off peg out. I reckon that is by far the number one delivery of the 21st century.
Amazing, isn't it? You just type it in to YouTube and there it is.
Knowing Ryan, it would be over the wicket, swing in.
And I think it's first ball, yeah? Is it first ball?
Look at this. Mate, it's an absolute... Oh, yeah,
it's a japper.
You talk about an unplayable delivery. When they do slow motion, you have it because it swings in, so you try and hold your line, and then it hits that crack and seams away beautifully. Look at this. Perfect seam, off the crack.
Oh,
good night. Top of off stump.
For all our listeners, when you get near a computer or your phone, just YouTube Ryan Harris, Alistair Cook, and it'll just pop
unplayable.
Up.
Unplayable. Mitchell Johnson bowled a couple of beauties in that series as well. Thunderbolts into the stumps. Mm. Mine was reverse swing, but yeah, if you pick which way the ball is going to reverse, or you're watching the ball close enough, I think you're definitely playing a shot at the one.
That is unplayable.
That delivery is unplayable, yes.
Swinging in and then hitting that crack and then moving away.
This is why you talk about, when you talk about spin as well, where you see batsmen, bowlers, the best spinners like Warney would get you out before the ball bounces. So what the ball does in the air is what your feet generally do. the line of the ball, the swing, the drift takes your foot to a certain position. And then when it bounces, if you could spin it like Warnie, that's why it's unplayable. That ball to Alistair Cook, Ryan Harris swings it in, so it makes him take his feet to hold his line. So he's actually got his bat in the right position. Then it just nicks the end of the crack and seams away. Whoa. You cannot you haven't got time to adjust. No. You can't adapt. That is an unplayable delivery.
I remember when you both got beaten the World Cup by New Zealand in Auckland, some of the balls Mitchell Stark bowled in that spell when he nearly won you the game.
Yeah. Oh. Starkey bowled. He's bowled some. That's what you get with Starkey as well. You get an absolute jaffers, and then you get the occasional bowl at the third step. I love him.
Morning, Mossy.
Listening to you guys is just, honestly, what a way to start the day. Yeah, Clarky just took me back to the cricket net at the Matthews Farm, facing reverse swing from my two brothers.
Oh, yeah, what about the tape tennis ball in the front or the backyard? How much of that used to swing?
Mate, my God. What about when we used to do it, and then someone actually came up with the idea to market them and sell them and made a mozza?
Yeah, so true.
Anyway, good old days.
I could only imagine how willing it got in your backyard as a kid, Mossy.
Well, I'll put it this way, Mum and Dad had to replace a few windows. And normally it wasn't from the ball going through, it was from my brothers throwing the bat at my head when I got them out, and I ducked.
So, Mossy, you played soccer at a good level. Your brother played cricket at a good level. Your other brother, did he play cricket or footy at all?
He played both, but then went into acting. And there's a strong argument in the house that the two sportsmen were actually the better actors and he was the better sportsman.
Oh, right, so he's done a bit of acting.
Yeah, done a bit of acting.
He's still doing it or just he's given it up now?
He runs his own acting school for kids through the schools to give them confidence and teach them how to present themselves in front of an audience.
Well, there you really go. You learn something about the Moss family every day.
What a talented family.
You do, mate. There you go.
Great stuff. Well, Mossy, I'll tell you what. Heartbreaking scenes for Rangers fans in Spain, in Seville this morning after, well, they lost on penalties to Frankfurt in the Europa League final.
Yeah, Kevin Trapp is not a name that's going to go down too well in the history of Rangers Football Club. He was the goalkeeper for Eintracht Frankfurt this morning. Pulled off a really good save. Rangers were 1-0 up and then conceded in the 69th minute. To take it to 1-1, and then Kevin Trapp pulled off a great save late in the game to take it into extra time and penalties. And what a high quality penalty shootout! I'm on my way to Melbourne Airport and was just sort of watching it on the phone on and off. But really high quality penalty shootout, and Kevin Trapp again the hero, saved one with his legs, and Rangers bow out and they'll be absolutely devastated. Well, you could see it written all over their faces and their fans because obviously losing the Scottish Premiership to Ange Postecoglou and Celtic, this was their big white hope for a trophy, and it slipped from their grasp.
In the rugby league segment early this morning with Blocker, we were talking about Frankfurt, and we wanted to know what their logo was. Can you shed any light on this, Mossy?
Well, it's red.
Right.
I know that. No, I can't. Like,
poor Mossy. What are you doing?
No, I'm just asking. We were talking about it this morning. So yeah, I wanted to get to the bottom of it. I wanted to find out what it was.
I want to know what Blocker's take was. That would be interesting.
He said it was red as well.
I'll tell you what, while we're on the Scotland theme, though, are you hearing the same things your great friend Robbie Slater has heard that Ange Postecoglou, the rumour is that when Pep Guardiola finishes up at City next year, that he's well and truly a contender to be manager at Manchester City.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, yes, I've heard it, and I think I think it's well known that the City Football Group are the ones who ushered Ange into Yokohama F. Marinos. They've got a stake in that club, and obviously they own Manchester City as well, and they're really impressed with him. Pep Guardiola, when Manchester City played Yokohama, Pep Guardiola came out and gave Dave Ange a massive rap after the game for the way Yokohama played their football. So, where there's smoke, there's fire. There's a few stars starting to align in that direction. So it wouldn't surprise me at all. I've said all along, he will manage in the Premier League. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when and obviously where. And Manchester City could well be that destination. They've got big raps on it.
Okay, before we get to the EPL final day, these A-League finals, how do they play out now after last night? Well, you saw Adelaide and Melbourne City finish scoreless, and the day before, Victory. A slender advantage heading into the second leg against Western United. Will we see a Melbourne derby for the grand final? Are you still confident that's the way it'll go?
Well, I am, Mido. Yeah, I think it will. Melbourne Victory with, as you said, 1-0 aggregate lead heading into the home game on Saturday night against Western United. I think they'll get the job done there, although Johnny Aloisi deserves huge praise for what he's done with Western United this season, and they're still in it with a shout, there's no doubt, because that's not really a genuine away game. Western United have played at that ground many, many times. And Melbourne City, I think they'll get the job done against Adelaide. But again, Calvert's done a great job with Adelaide this season with some really young players coming through. Love the way they play the game, and he's managed some kids very, very well. To make them stars of the future. But I think it'll be Victory City in the grand final on May 28th.
Mossy, A-League trying to get some, I guess, some big fish back playing, but also trying to get the likes of Dwight York to come out and coach MacArthur FC. Is this a little taste of what we're going to see, hopefully, in the near future?
Yeah, look, I think so, Clarkie, and he's done Dwight York signed for 2 years with MacArthur.
Yeah.
So he will take the All-Stars game against Barca next week, and then he'll come back and run MacArthur for the next two seasons, which, you know, it's his first coaching gig, senior coaching gig, so it'll be interesting to see how he goes. There is a part of me that would love to have seen an Aussie coach get that job, of course. If it's an overseas manager and they're really experienced, I understand. But I also understand the commercial value of bringing Dwight York back. He was fantastic for Sydney FC as a player, not just on the pitch in a sky blue jersey, but for the game. He really understands the role that he plays, and I think that's crucial for our league. So I'm really sitting on the fence with that one, even though I've got my Football Coaches Australia hat on for local coaches. I definitely see the commercial value in bringing Dwight out here, and he'll be great for the game. He's already reached out to me through Mark Bosnich to join Football Coaches Australia. So he wants to, give to the game at a much wider level than just the club that he's coaching, which is fantastic.
All right. These games in the EPL this weekend, do both Liverpool and Man City win? Liverpool take on Wolverhampton and Man City take on Aston Villa? Or is there a upset and Liverpool go on and win? Or do Man City just beat Aston Villa and they win the title?
Loz, you already know the answer to that. I know you've asked the question, but you already know that Manchester City are going to lose to Aston Villa, and Liverpool are going to win, and they're going to win the title on the final day.
Oh my God!
No, obviously
you get $17 if you think Aston Villa can win.
No, I reckon a late equaliser for Villa. So
yeah, listen,
late equaliser because the draw. If they draw and Liverpool wins, Liverpool's title.
Mido, what about the narrative around?
Unreal,
imagine if Steven Gerrard managed Aston Villa to get the result that Liverpool needed, Liverpool win the title after that famous slip by Gerrard that cost us the title way back when, you remember the year, but
2014.
That would be 2014. Mm. That would be absolutely incredible if he was managing another club that helped Liverpool win the title.
And Coutinho scored for Villa to do the damage. Just to add that in there
romantic.
As well.
You're a romantic guy.
But the problem is Villa are playing tomorrow morning against a team battling relegation in Burnley. So, they've got a frantic finish to the season.
Yeah, and Everton have got two games to save their EPL lives as well. So, it's huge few days. Weekend of EPL coming up. It's just going to be gripping stuff. And that's the point, isn't it? Relegation, promotion from the championships, the EPL. And the title race is open till the last game of the season, which just makes it incredible watching.
All right, what's your multi?
Let's go to the multi. I've got, where are we? I've got it here saved somewhere. Hang on, I've got it here. There we go. Right, I'm going with Villa to get the result over Burnley tomorrow morning, into Chelsea to get the result over Leicester tomorrow, into Everton to get the result over Crystal Palace. And then the fourth leg is Arsenal to beat Everton on the final day.
Okay, beauty. So that's paying $8.03 with tab. That is the three games tomorrow morning. So Everton, Aston Villa and Chelsea all to win, and then Arsenal to beat Everton on the final day in the early hours of Monday morning. Mossy, thank you so much.
Great to chat, boys.
With the cooler weather arriving, get into Totally Workwear Rydalmere for your winter workwear gear. We stock the best brands like King G, Hardjacker, FXD and Steel Blue. Plus, check out the new Fuse Workwear by King G. Does your business workwear branding need a freshen up? Darren and the team will get you sorted. Open until 7 p.m. every weekday. Totally Workwear Rydalmere, 279 Victoria Road, opposite Bunnings and Macca's. Your winter workwear one-stop shop.
Brad Davidson, morning.
Morning, guys. How are we?
Yeah, good, thanks. And these Sydney tracks should be nice and fresh. We're back at Rose Hill this weekend after some standalones elsewhere.
Yeah, exactly right. We've been away from Rose Hill for a while now, so it should be good racing there this weekend. Big fields to date. Hopefully the weather is kind to us. It's been kind to us the last few days, guys, but just having a look at the forecast towards the weekend, there does seem to be a few showers around once again, just for something different. So we'll see how we go. But look, that track drying out at the moment. I thought the Kensington track played well yesterday around that 7-6 range, and hopefully Rose Hill's at a similar sort of level at this stage. So Lord Mayor's Cup the feature, and good fields right throughout, and looking forward to getting my teeth stuck into the form right throughout today for that.
Dave, what's the story with Fireburn? Set to target the Golden Rose this spring?
Yeah, the logical target, Clarkie. She's obviously took all before her in the autumn, didn't she? Winning the slipper and doing what she did after that. So, look, she'll go towards the Golden Rose. That's the logical target for these three-year-olds that are so dominant at two. And we'll see how she shapes up then. I think longer range as well. They're looking at the Golden Eagle beyond that the year after. So, it'll be interesting to see if she can go on. Obviously, she really appreciated those wet tracks during the autumn. She was very good on those. But saying that, she was pretty good right throughout the preparation, wasn't she? And I suppose there is a little query around the two-year-olds, how strong they are going forward to their three-year-old season. But look, there's a query on them every year. So we'll see how they come back and see what they're able to produce. And it might be one of those years again where I know a few of the slot holders for the Everest will be definitely looking at a few of those two-year-olds turn three to see if any of those can shape up, because the way it stands at the moment, you've got the main chances locked away. There's a couple of others on the fringe there that'll probably be locked away at some point, you would imagine. And then I would suggest, again, probably, you know, four to five slot holders are going to be happy to sit and wait and see what happens in the spring, whether there's an emerging sprinter from the older ranks or whether it's those 2 to 3 year-olds that come through. So there's a few there on the cusp that need to really prove themselves in the spring, but probably capable of going to that next level. So we'll see how it all pans out in a few months' time.
Does the early market suggest it's an open Goodwood this weekend?
It does, Loz. Yeah, $5 the field in the Goodwood, the Group 1, of course. And Extreme Warrior, the current favourite there at $5 ahead of In the Boat, who's been flying for the Lindsay Smith Yard at $7. Behemoth, he's been a great horse at $8.50. And the Astrologist and the Inferno at $10 and $11, respectively. So you go right through that list, Bella Nipotina at $15. General Bow at 18, Lombardo at 16. They're all chances at genuine odds. And it's an interesting one, the favourite, Extreme Warrior. He's obviously got a big boom on him. He bolted in at Caulfield second up last preparation, beating Profiteer by 4 lengths. But I thought his first up win this preparation in the listed race there at Caulfield over 1,100 was tradesman-like. I don't think it was super impressive. The time wasn't anything to get carried away with. And the second horse out of that race has come out and been soundly beaten since. So I'll be interested to see what the market does with it. But, I'm going to try to have a look at that if I get time in between doing Sydney and Melbourne form. And it does look a horse I'd be keen to take on at this stage, just with a boom around it. And like I said, I thought it was given an absolute peach first up and just fell in, really. So, open race and looking forward to seeing if we can pop the favourite there on Friday.
You're getting a lot of love for your tipping yesterday, Davo. A lot of listeners clearly followed you. Outstanding tipping yesterday, Davo. Cheers, Josh, and others here as well. And good day, certainly.
Well, you got my endorsement.
Yeah. Loza was happy with what you tipped and took on Cookie with Timpanist and won, but didn't have a bean on it. But it was a good day.
Loz, you've got to have a bean on him. At
I know, Davo. I completely forgot and I kicked myself because I watched the race and I knew straight up when I missed it, I went, what have I done here? What have I done?
Oh, yeah. They hurt a lot more at those sort of odds than $2-$3. When you miss a $2-$3 winner, you're like, you can live with that. But when they're at those odds, you want to be on. But no, thanks, everyone. It's, you know, there's a lot of ups and downs as tipping on this show and each and every week. But nice to have a day. Good day yesterday, and hopefully a few had a fill-up.
Great stuff, Davo. Thank you.
Thanks, guys. Talk tomorrow.
By the way, Royce Simmons' walk today, day 3. They're going from Woodstock to Carcor.
Who's on the journey
34.8
today?
34.8 kilometres. Well, on the list I'm given here,
yeah.
is Paul Sheridan and Steve Roach. But remember, Royce, he said the other day, I think they got something else Balmain related on today and they couldn't come. So I can't remember who Royce said he's got walking in their place, but he certainly had some replacements, so to speak.
I wonder how they pulled up after Langmac.
Well, we're going to speak, we're going to check in again with them tomorrow.
Right, all right. We'll find out how they went.
Royce'sBigWalk.com.au, by the way, is the website to donate towards dementia research. $102,000, nearly $103,000.
Oh, that's outstanding.
Raised via this website at the moment. So awesome to see. But wonder how they're feeling.
Yeah,
we'll check in tomorrow.
Raising a lot of money on the ground too. So.
Yeah, which wouldn't be included. That's just over the website. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right there. Now, this one, Clarkey. Talking about Clarkey, was watching ABC last night and he was getting painted by Arndo. Where is the painting now, pup? Skip from Robertson.
I don't...
What's Skip from Robbo doing watching the ABC, by the way?
I think it's in my house in storage somewhere. Yeah. It's not out on show, put it that way, but it's...
I didn't see it on
like,
the 40th.
No, like...
Did you have clothes on?
Yes.
It was a
great experience. It was a tough interview.
Right. Didn't he say paint?
Yeah, I know. You do an interview while he paints you.
Oh, right.
So it was.
Yeah. We clearly haven't watched this.
No,
stuff.
I haven't watched it. Yeah.
But yeah, it's there. It's there. Yeah. It's in storage. It's in storage. Like my memorabilia, my cricket memorabilia, that's in storage as well.
So that was earring phase?
No, it was probably, what are we now? It might have been 5 years ago, I reckon. Maybe not that long ago, 3 years ago.
What'd you have on?
It's just like a bit of a headshot. Knowing me, it would have been hoodie and a pair of shorts. Knowing me, same thing every day. But no, it's a head.
Right, so they don't do it.
It's not full body
painting.
No.
Right.
No.
You got any other questions, Lars?
You
can ask him during the news
break. I'm
getting
a wind up here at 8:31.
Welcome back to the Big Sports Breakfast. And what are you reading there, Lars? Is it fit for radio? Probably not.
No, it was, sort of my humour. Arndo, legend. I wouldn't miss his show for anything. His brother goes all right too. His name's Weir.
Oh.
Weirdo.
Oh, God. That is right up your alley. That couldn't be any more up your alley. Now, the Europa League final this morning finished 1-1. After extra time. So I went to penalties and it was won by Frankfurt, who beat Rangers on penalties. And last night in the A-League semi-final first leg, Adelaide and Melbourne City finished scoreless. And also in the netball, Suncorp Super Netball last night, GWS beat Collingwood 69-60 to jump to third on the ladder. Now we've got Shane Crawford coming up, fellas. And this week hasn't been so much a story in Sydney, but about a Sydney player. And it's to do with Luke Parker. And some of the commentary on this, particularly down in Melbourne, has been honestly ridiculous. Luke Parker and John Longmire yesterday, the Swans coach, came out and defended Luke Parker, who's been copping it for sort of taunting or mocking Essendon's Dylan Scheel in the 58-point win last weekend. You have not said... This is one of the great storms in a teacup you've ever seen. Driven by the noisy minority, idealists who are trying to drive personality out of the game, saying that he was arrogant, a bit of sort of that, I don't know, sort of getting one over your opponent mentally. He sort of, mocks him by saying he sort of didn't show the courage and shied at the ball, Dylan Scheel, and gave it to him a bit, Luke Parker, anyway. And some are saying that it was just unacceptable and, anyway, complete storm in a teacup. Morning to you, Crawf. How are you?
I'm still getting over Laurie's joke. I loved it.
Not my joke. It wasn't mine, but I enjoy those type of jokes, Crawf.
Yeah, well, you forgot his other brother, Play.
I mean...
I'm taking it to a new level.
Oh, we have. We have.
Gee, I tell you what. Looking forward to spending a day at Flemington with you two.
Oh, I can't wait.
Later in the year.
I don't want to come, actually. See if he's free.
Yeah. Now, this Luke Parker, I was just talking about it, Crawf. I can't believe some of the commentary, particularly in Melbourne, about this. I mean, what is the problem?
What's he taking the mickey out of? Is he saying, like, the defender was a bit scared to have a crack?
Saying, yeah. That's essentially what it is, isn't it, Crawf?
Yeah, pretty much. He's virtually had an opportunity to win the footy and didn't. And, you know, a younger player was harder at the footy, and it resulted in, obviously, the Swans kicking a goal. But, you know, you take any advantage you can. You try and get in the heads of your opposition all the time. I'm sure Markle did that plenty of times.
Definitely.
In the field, in cricket, and Laurie would have been doing, telling his knock-knock jokes and so forth out on the field. But, it is. The only thing with it is it's been replayed a lot. And I reckon Luke Parker would be going, oh, you know what, I wish I'd stop replaying that. Mm. And would he regret doing it out in the field? No, but he would regret them replaying it because, you know, as we know, everyone's, well, not everyone, some people are trying to blow it up and make it a disgrace, and how could he do that? He's been a warrior, Luke Parker, an amazing player.
Absolutely.
He is tough. He kicks goals. And whilst you're out there, and it is, once you become a professional sports man or woman and you get in on that field, it's dog eat dog. You're just trying to do your best. You're just trying to win. You're trying to win at all costs. And especially, you know, when you know, seasons and opportunities to play in finals are on the line and, you know, everyone's under pressure or you've had a bad week, you want to take it out on someone. So I don't think there's much to do. And it's great that John Longmire came out on the front foot and said, nah, leave Luke Parker alone. He's a star.
I reckon absolutely play on. The only thing when you do that, again, like sledging a bowler as a batsman, sooner or later they're going to bowl the ball with your name on it. So it's coming back to you. So as long as he understands, if he goes to the ball ever for the rest of his career and decides to pull out, get ready. Yeah. He's going to cop it from whoever's on the field. He's going to cop it from media afterwards. But that's nothing.
Oh,
what's
mate,
that? Like, it's a fair sledge as well. Like, isn't in AFL, Crawford, it's in AFL, surely that's where you test the character of someone. You go, mate, how tough are you? Like, if you're pulling out there, I don't want you as a teammate. You know, you're letting your team. Isn't that like, I hear the AFL boys, that's what they talk about all the time. The greats, mate, they compete that hard for the ball. They never give in.
Yeah, when you got to go, you got to go. You got to put your body on the line when it's your turn. And do you know what? I used to look around corners all the time. I just used to make sure that no one was looking and made sort of any reference to them. Trying to look, which back when I was playing, they were coming from all different angles trying to knock your head off. So you're always looking around going, okay, but when the ball's there and when it's your turn, you've got to put your body on the line and you've got to take it. Mm.
Crawford, we're just going to redial your number. We just got some issues there with your audio. But, Clark, if you saw some of the commentary that's been going on around that.
But what are they saying? Are they having a
arrogant
shot at him for saying that?
Oh, yeah. They're saying it was disgraceful, unacceptable.
Yeah. Oh, I got no drama with it.
What
do you mean? A bit like what Pops just said then.
Like
everyone will scrutinise him now.
100%.
And he's been tough, and there's no denying Luke Parker's been tough. But the moment that he pulls out, they will come at him.
Oh, yeah. He's got to now. He's got to own every opportunity. Yeah. Otherwise, he's going to cop it tenfold. Yeah. But, yeah, man, it's like anything you say, if when you're, especially if you're on top, if your team's winning or you're batting well or you're bowling well, anytime you open your mouth, it comes across arrogant. Like, I get it, the whole respect the game and the gentleman sport and you don't need to do that. But sometimes, mate, what if there's a bit of a personal battle as well with someone on the field? And, you know, that times that brings the best out of you as well. He actually hasn't said anything. Like, he's shrugging his shoulders like, mate, you're a bit of a cat. You had the opportunity to go for the ball. You didn't go for it. You know, hence why we're 60 to 20 or whatever the score. Like, I think it's absolutely nothing.
Zero.
Mate, get on. Like,
play on.
Yeah. Just understand, it comes round as well. Like, you'll have a touch. It might be this, what happens quickly as well. It's like, we used to call it the rusty gate in cricket. As soon as you feel like you're on top of the game, that rusty gate will smack in the face. You go, duck, 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 and you'll be going, why is there 25 fielders out here? Mm. I can't make a run. That's what sport's all about.
I think we've got Crawf back now. Crawf at GWS, they've obviously had a tumultuous week or two. And the interesting thing, James Hurd is now officially on the coaching staff. He's been there as an advisor, but he's going to do it remotely and not in a full-time capacity, but assisting Mark McVeigh in whatever capacity it is. But how much do we read into this and him being a potential contender for the full-time job?
A lot. I think a lot. And also Dean Solomon. Dean Solomon's my neighbour, and he's decided, nah, I'm going to go and... Because he took over the Suns when they were halfway through the season and sacked their coach. So he took over. He was an assistant. So it's a real, and all these guys played together. They played in premierships together. It's a real Essendon flavour. So it's like best mates coming together and going, do you know what? Let's see if we can get this team firing. We know there's a bit of talent there. So there's obviously a desire. There's a desire, obviously, for Mark McVeigh, Dean Solomon, who I know Geelong offered him a job last year to go and be a part of that, but decided just to have a bit of time out of the game. And then obviously James Hurd, who keeps getting drawn back. He does have a lot of business ventures. He heads overseas a lot, you know, to be involved. He's involved in different boards and so forth. But he's obviously got that driving passion to get back in footy in some way and actually make an impact.
What about your old mate Alistair Clarkson, Crawf? Does he look at the GWS team and go, yep, that sort of has got me written all over it? Or do you think he's just going to sit back and wait to see what unfolds before he makes any decision?
Well, he's been over in America a fair bit, and he's been spending a lot of time with Golden State Warriors. He's best of friends with Steve Kerr, so he's been loving that experience. But look, he put his hand up last week to coach every team in the AFL. And, you know, he's just extremely passionate about taking a side, not necessarily rebuilding from the bottom up, but taking a side that's middle of the road and trying to win not only a flag, but win a couple of flags. So, look, he'll look at every possible job. I don't know whether or not GWS is going to be in his wheelhouse. It should be, because, you know, they've certainly got the talent and, you know, they've been around the mark. They just probably need a different voice and a different way for a little while. But, you know, I think all the clubs are going to be...
Does it accelerate, though, Crawf, the fact that... Oh, well, accelerate his decision now, because if he doesn't sign with the GWS and the Giants are looking for a new coach, and if the deal hasn't been done after a couple of weeks, does that suggest that he won't go there, given that
he might be
hanging off seeing what happens to other coaches?
Yeah, and, you know, the way he handled the Carlton situation, Carlton offered him the job, wanted him to do it. He said, no, I need some time. I've just come out of the game. I need some time to think about it. And you might recall, Carlton didn't make a decision for almost 2 months because they were just waiting and waiting. They just wanted him to say yes. And he was almost across the line, but then he was talked out of it, just saying, listen, just have some time out. Once. It's the first time you can shut down, but I know there was a real desire to take charge of Carlton, and they held on. So I suppose it's just identifying who's the right person for our footy club moving forward. Is it Alistair Clarkson? Yes. All right, do you know what? We're going to wait 3 months. We'll interview some others as the backups and have them ready to go, but at the end of the day, we think Alistair Clarkson's our man to actually take us into finals and to win us premierships. You got to wait. You got to get the best, you know, and you know, he may not be the best fit for every club, but I'm sure he'll get in and shake the tree a bit and things will happen.
Cracking game tomorrow night at Marvel Stadium, 4th and 5th. Carlton up against Sydney, and the Swans slight favourites, $1.85, Carlton $1.95. How are we playing this one, Crawf?
Well, it's in Melbourne, so it's advantage Carlton, obviously they're without a key forward, the Blues, but you know, their midfield getting the job done. You know, you've got guys like Cripps and Chera Walsh. And I'll tell you what, Hewitt's an interesting one. He was at Sydney last year. So what he'll be doing, and I often find players that have left, you know, footy clubs and been at, you know, other footy clubs for quite some time, they take all their IP across, and it really helps the opposition the first couple of times they play, because this is the way they like to do things. This is the way he likes to coach. This is what he likes to do with this player. So I reckon that often has a real impact into the game situation. So I'm thinking Carlton will win, but I think it's going to be a very close game.
And Dreamtime at the G on Saturday night. We've got Richmond $1.26, hot favourites to beat Essendon $3.90, who are +24.5 at the line. The Bombers under all sorts of pressure and scrutiny at the moment there at Windy Hill.
So disappointed. They were obviously very good against the Hawks. They came back and they got the win that they needed to have, and then they backed it up with dog crap, unfortunately. And they were very ordinary against the Swans. And the biggest thing that was missing is they laid 30 tackles for the game, which tackling is an attitude, you know. You can go and lay 10 tackles in a minute if you really want to, but I'm thinking they'll come to play. Will I beat Richmond? Probably not, but they'll come to play and we should have a good competitive game. At some stage, they might look like winning. I think Richmond will find a way to win, but I think Essendon can put up a bit of a showing here because, once again, they've copped it all week. They're under enormous pressure, and I just think back at home, they'll find a way to improve.
And the Giants up against the hapless West Coast Eagles on Sunday afternoon. The Giants $1.12, the Eagles $6.20, and plus 38.5 at the line. I guess without saying it over there in the West, they're probably tanking this year, are they?
Well, they're doing a good job anyway of tanking. Look, you just think the Giants will win. Obviously, new coach, new enthusiasm, you know, just a clean slate to start again. Probably some new ideas, some players in different positions. So yeah, the Giants should win and should win convincingly. Hey, I want to mention that Roosters player who took an absolute specky.
Yeah, Suwali.
What's his name?
Joseph Suwali.
Wow. I've been waiting for a long time for a couple of those NRL players to take a few hangs and mark the ball above their head. And he's going to change the game, this kid. That's the way you need to do it. You need to launch for it. It's very hard to stop. You might be able to catch him on the way down, but, you know, even then, he spun his body and he was able to obviously hit the line. I love it.
Hey, I think he's been doing a bit of work with Nick Davis.
Oh, has he?
Yeah.
Well, perfect. Yeah, that explains a lot because, he could slot into any forward line in the AFL if he's jumping at the ball like that.
It was excellent, wasn't it? It's something that we don't see a lot of, but when we see it, you just go, wow. And you're right. That's sort of, if you've got a bloke like that, you nearly score a try a game if the kick is done well enough because you know he's got the leap and the aerial skills to take advantage of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think whilst you're up there, yes, the players underneath. Because I notice a lot of NRL players try to chest mark a lot, even when they jump up high.
Yep.
Chest mark the ball, which obviously they've done that the whole life, so it's only natural. But if you can mark it above your head and you've got a guy who can leap at the ball and find a way to jump, you know, in our game, we've got guys like Jeremy Howe who you just can't stop him when he gets a run at the footy and up. I suppose it's just the players underneath, whether or not they can catch him, but whilst he's on his way, can he flick it over and pass it on or can he, you know, try and do something spectacular, even jump up like that and then tap, a bit like an AFL ruckman, tap it back to one of his teammates and Laurie Daly come flying through like another try like he used to do back in the day.
Mate, I was a kicker, Croft. I couldn't leap.
No, I know that. I was trying to pump it up.
Hey, listen, you got any horses running around this weekend?
The TRL, we've always got horses, but they're saving a few for the spring because they've got some really good ones. I have a horse running today that I'm in with a few mates. And I've told you this horse before, but it's running. It's called Sunday Yum Char. It's stall. Kieran Maher trains. It's in race two.
Yep.
Number three. And it hopefully jumps well, goes to the lead, and then hopefully can kick off the turn. And do you know what? At least it's going to be in front at the turn.
Race two, number three.
Yeah, race two, number three. We expect it to run well.
Okay.
We're just hoping that it's come third, it's come second, and it's only natural that you win, isn't it? That's the way horse racing works.
It's called I Don't Get It.
And I reckon you've got some names for some future horses with some of your jokes, Laurie, so that'll be good.
Well, I'll tell you, what about this, Croft? Clarkie tomorrow has his horse having its first jump out.
Right. No, it's having a
trial.
It's had a couple of trials.
Oh, it's had a couple of trials.
Yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Well, I thought you said he was. Well, what's it called? Pretty Wild.
Pretty Wild.
Pretty Wild.
Named after who?
As you can imagine, after the big fella.
Yeah, cool. Okay, beautiful. All right.
So keep an eye out for that tomorrow. It's trialing at what time?
10:30.
There you go. Okay. New beauty. Bring it on. All right.
Good on you, Croft.
Sunday Yum Char, and if it wins tonight. Now, if it wins, I'll take you all out for some Sunday Yum Char one day. On a Sunday, of course.
Sounds superb.
Good on you, champion.
See you. Bye.
David Stanley, good morning to you.
Jared Middleton, Laurie Daly, Michael Clark, Jamie Rogers. Good morning, everyone, and good morning, punters. How are we on this Thursday?
Excellent.
Doing good,
that's the
yes.
way. Sunday Yum Char. I hear there, for El Meach and the Mar Eustace stable. Yeah. So what's Crawf like on the tip? Is he good?
Yeah, he goes all right. He's got a few horses, Davey. He loves them. But
yep.
Have you got any mail on Sunday Yum chart?
No mail at all. I might try and get Eustace on a little bit later on. We'll have a bit of a yarn, see if he tips it up. But he's obviously in the TRL. Who's leading that? Are you leading? Are the Blues leading that, or are the Queenslanders?
No, the Vics are going well at the moment. Winning. Yeah, well, he's got more horses running at this particular point in time. But I will have a lot of my runners come back soon, Dave. They've been running, okay. But we'll start to get a few more up and running.
Hear that, boys. Hear that. So see that, just, you know, they'll come good.
Yeah. They run when I tell them to run, don't
they? Here we go.
Hey, today on the show, boys, it's Thursday, obviously leading into Saturday, back at Rose Hill for the first time in a few weeks. So really looking forward to getting back. I think they're going to get a nice little crowd there on Saturday, fingers crossed, in the west of Sydney. We're going to chat with Pat Webster, though, to kickstart proceedings. Pat, obviously, he was a great trainer, and he's heavily involved with Racing New South Wales in the racing industry, and sort of creating a bit of a get-together and a thing called Racing Mates. And it's an opportunity for industry participants to get together. He travels all across the state and does these at various points of the year, but the get-together and just sort of have a yarn with each other. Good for mental health, and he's a great ambassador for that type of thing. Pat, so we'll chat with him just after the scratchings. Chris Roots and Jock Gologley will join us as they always do on a Thursday. Annabelle Neesham will chat to, not only has she got runners in the Lord Mayor Cup here in Sydney, but we'll find out what's happening with a few of the big stars north of the border. Matt Smith will join us, and Joe Pride. So we've got hopefully a winner or two in there, gentlemen. And you go and get that swing sorted for tomorrow. Are you looking forward to getting on the course tomorrow midday?
Yeah, can't wait.
Oh, you play golf?
Yeah. Yep, straight after the show.
Just going to have a whack.
Have a whack. By the way, just Crawf's horse. He told us the wrong number, and I didn't have the whole screen up here.
His horse,
Sunday Yumcha, he said it was number 3. It's actually number 12. Horse number 3 is a horse. This is at Stall today, race 2. He was saying it's race 2, number 3, which is I don't get it, which isn't it.
I thought that was supposed to be a joke when you said I don't get it.
Well, yeah. Anyway, his horse is Sunday Yumcha, number 12.
Yes.
So, which is a $3.40 chance. Mm.
So your joke just never got a reaction either. I just left it alone.
Well, you know what'll happen now, boys.
Got a good fake laugh, Crawf.
you know what'll happen now. Race 2, number 3 will win.
100%.
I don't get it. We'll get the chocolates. For Peter Chow. Peter Chow trains I don't get it. $5.50.